believe we could go home, but I've got to do what I've got to do. You know, we've gathered here to take the Lord's table tonight, bread and wine. And we don't take it often enough. But I certainly want to do what's right about it. I want you to start with me then in verse 12. And the first day of unleavened bread. Now this is the Passover. You know, they had unleavened bread 7 days. Put the Passover up for 14 days. Kept it. And when they had killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? Remember, they eat it. And he sent forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them. And they made ready the Passover. One thing we can always count on, that whatever he says unto us, it'll happen. It'll happen. Now he told them exactly what was going to happen when they went into this town. Exactly what was going to happen. And it happened just the way he said it was going to happen. And they made ready the Passover, and in verse 17, And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? That's a good question to ask, ain't it? Lord, would I ever betray you? Would I ever be a Judas? Would I ever sell you? What would it take? But is it I? Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks and gave it to them, and they all drank of it, and he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in the kingdom of God. Other word, I guess when we get to glory, they're going to have wine. That's what he's saying. Said, until we get to the kingdom of God, I won't have any more of the fruit of the vine. But I'll drink it with you in the new kingdom. I'll drink it with you when we get there. That's what he's saying. And listen to this now. And when they had sung a hymn, and it says in the margin, a psalm, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, I want to talk a little bit, say a few things about the Lord's Supper. It's called the Lord's Table. Paul called it the Lord's Table. He said you can't partake of the Lord's Table and the tables of devils at the same time. You can't drink of the cup of devils and the cup of the Lord. So it's called the Lord's Table. And I want you to know it's not the Baptist table, it's not the Catholic table, it's not the Presbyterian table, it's the Lord's table. It's His. It's His. And the Lord, when He takes notice. He takes notice of our hearts, where our hearts are, what our hearts are thinking, what is going through our hearts. He knows us. He knows us, and he knows us very, very well. And I'm thankful that he does. I'm thankful that he does. And not only is it called the Lord's table, but it's also called the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. And it's a supper. It's a spiritual meal. It's a spiritual meal. It's not a natural meal. Our Lord, you know, it's called a communion. I want you to look with me over here. Keep Mark, and I want you to look with me in 1 Corinthians 10. Look what it's called over here. 1 Corinthians 10. In verse 16. It's called the Lord's Supper. It's a spiritual meal, a communion. Look what he said here. The cup of blessing which we bless. God gives us this cup with a blessing in it. And we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And that word communion means to be one with. To actually be one with. Commune with. To have infinite communion with. And the bread which we break, is it not the communion or our union of the body of Christ? For we being many are one body, one bread and one body for all partakers of that bread. And so what he's saying here is that when we take this bread and this wine, we're actually partaking, having communion, our oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the body of Christ. And I'll tell you this, it's for believers only. It's not for just anybody. It really is. It's not for everybody. It's only for believers. Only for people who know that what God done for them, what Christ done for them. For those who truly believe from their heart and their soul that the Lord Jesus Christ did something for them. Did something for them. And I tell you what, the reason it's only for believers, because only believers have communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. The world don't have communion with Christ. Religion don't have communion with Christ. Lost people don't have communion with Christ. And there's people that take the bread and the wine every single week that wouldn't know God from a goat. And I'm telling you, this is for believers. Our Lord Jesus Christ was there with his disciples. He wasn't there with the world. He didn't open up the door and say to everybody now wants to come in, have some of my flesh and some of my blood. You just come on in here and have to help yourself. That's not what he said. Now, I don't believe in close communion in the sense that you know that if you're not a member of this church, you're not even allowed to come in the building when we do it. I don't believe that, but I do believe that it's for God's people and God's people only. I believe that because it's only they who have communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. The natural man, he can't have communion with Christ. And the communion that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ is it's a bond of unity. A bond of unity and love that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the bond in unity that we have that's among us as believers. Among us as Christ's people, the Lord's people. That's why we being many, many of us here. But still we're just one body. God sees us as one body. One body. And I tell you, let me ask you this question. What is the Lord's Supper? What is it? What is this communion? When our Lord Jesus took that bread, and when our Lord Jesus took that cup, what is he doing? What does this mean? Well, it's a visible sermon. That's what it is. It's a visible sermon. When our Lord Jesus did this, he was preaching a visible sermon. Remember, he told us in John chapter 6, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, he hath eternal life. Now he wasn't talking about eating his body. He wasn't talking about cannibalism. So it's a visible sermon. And what it is, Paul said, is showing the Lord's death till he comes. Showing the Lord's death. And so by faith, we believe Christ that he broke his body. We believe Christ shed his blood. And by faith, we eat his flesh And by faith, we drank his blood. And he says, you know, we show the Lord's death till he comes. And that's what our Lord Jesus is doing here. When he's talked about eating my flesh and drinking my blood, this is what he's talking about. When he broke that body, he said, this is my flesh. This is my body. And I tell you, we show the Lord's death, and we show the purpose of his death. What was the purpose of our? We show the purpose of his death. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ die? If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And we show the effect of it. We show that his work was effectual. His work, his blood and his broken body actually saved people. It done what God intended for it to do. He done what God intended. When his body was broken on that cross, he intended for God to save certain people. When he shed his blood there on Calvary's tree, he intended for that blood to be counted somebody to wash them from their sins and make them acceptable to God. And so that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about what our Lord Jesus Christ. This bread and wine ain't going to do a thing in the world for us. We're not going to get no grace through it. But I tell you, when we get grace from him who lived. We get grace from him who died. We get grace from him who was buried. We get grace from him who rose again. His death is what saves us, not the bread, not the wine. Oh, it's his death. And oh my, we show his death, the purpose of it. Bless his holy name. And he had not went to that cross, and he had not rose again, we'd just be wasting our time. Be wasting our time. And look what happens now, there in verse 22. And as they did eat, they ate the Passover now. Christ was our last Passover. Jesus took bread. He took bread. You know another place he took bread? And on that Emmaus road, walking with those two disciples, they didn't know who he was. They didn't know who he was. But he went in their house. They said, stay with us. Spend the night with us. It's too late. Come in here and eat with us. And when he sat down and took that bread and broke that bread, they said, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. And Jesus took bread. He's the master. He's the Lord. He's the one instituted this blessed thing of this. It's not man's invention. It's not just a tradition that's passed down. Our Lord Jesus took bread. And then look what it says. He blessed it. He blessed it. And he said, oh, this is my body. And breaking gave to him, said, take, eat, this is my body. He broke it first, and he blessed it. And how blessed are we by the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. All our blessings flow from him. All our blessings that we have flows from our Lord Jesus Christ. He took just a piece of bread and it broke it and said, this is my body. This is my body. I broke it. And he blessed it. And his body was broken. And how blessed we have by his body being broken. By his body being there on that cross. How blessed have we been. What blessings we have because of what Christ did on that cross. He went to that cross on purpose. His body was broken and beaten and mutilated and had every kind of wound in his body that's known to medical science. Every kind of wound known to medical science was in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they broke it. And he shed blood. Oh, his bruise for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. Stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Wounded for our transgressions. Led as a lamb to the slaughter. Oh, how his body that was broken. How we were so blessed by it. And then look what it says. And then he break it. You know what our Lord Jesus Christ did? He did voluntarily. Nobody made him do it. You know our Lord said in John 10:17, he said, "Herein doeth my Father love me. My Father loves me for what I'm fixing to do. Because I lay down my life." I lay it down. This is an act of my will. This is a voluntary on my part. This is something I intend to do. And he said, "I lay it down of myself." He said, "There ain't no man going to take my body from me. There ain't no man going to take my life from me. There's nobody going to take it." He said, "You know when I'm going to die? When I say to my Father, 'Into thy hands I commit my spirit,' then that's when I'm going to die. And I know that I'm going to go into that grave, but I'm going to come out again." I tell you what, everything our Lord did was voluntary. God never said, "Now listen, if you don't go down there to heaven, then you know I don't know what I'm going to do to save these people." Christ stood as our Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He came here in time. And God gave him a body. And our Lord Jesus Christ in that body was made an offering to God himself. And he said, "Father, you need a lamb? I'll be that lamb. Father, you need blood to satisfy you? I'll shed my blood. You need death for the sins of your people? I'll die. I'll do it. You don't have to make me do it. You don't have to insist that I do it. You just give me your will and I'll do it. You tell me what to do and I'll go do it. You give me the people that I'm to die for and I'll go die for them. You show me the people you want their sins to be on me and I'll bear them." And I tell you, he said, "I lay down my life. Ain't nobody going to take it from me. Nobody. Nobody. I'm going to do that." Oh my. Broken body. Broken body. Wine poured out. The blood. Oh my soul. How he must have loved his people and loved his Father to do that. For who? For who? For who? I stand amazed. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Oh my. How he must have loved his people. And look what it says here. And then he took that bread and gave it to them. You know who he gave it to? He gave it to them. That shows us that he only gives his bread to his people, to his disciples. He gave it to them. And he didn't say, "Now, would you like to take and eat it? Would you want to do this to remember me?" No, no. He said it as a command. Take, eat. Take and eat. Take and eat. Oh my. He said, "This is my body." They finally understood what he meant. You know, this is children's bread. That's what this is. Children's bread. Children's bread. It's like Israel. When that manna come down from heaven, it wasn't for Egypt. It wasn't for nobody but Israel. That manna that came down only in the camp of Israel. And Christ shed his blood and broke his body only for spiritual Israel. Only for spiritual Israel. And then he says, "Take, eat." This shows us our mystic union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're one with him by faith. We eat his flesh and we drink his blood. It's like a marriage. You know, when a person wants to get married and they're thinking about marriage, the first thing they do is they choose their bride. They choose a bride. God opens up the door and he opens up somebody that he's chosen, and it's an elect person. You married the person you chose to marry. It was an election. You chose to do this. And then you got to win their heart. They may not want to marry you. You know? Then you got to go out and win their heart. Well, that's what Christ did for us. He said, this is going to be my bride. And I've chosen them. They're my elect. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and I'm going to win them. I'm going to win them to myself. I'm going to win their hearts. I'm going to win their wills. I'm going to win their minds. I'm going to win them. I'm going to win them. I'm going to woo them and bring them to myself. And you know what? They're going to love me too. They're going to want me. They're going to want me. They're going to want me. Ain't that right? And as eating sustains our life, our spiritual life is nourished and sustained by living off of him and by him, by him. And take eat. When our Lord says take eat, this shows the wisdom of God. You know how we fail? We fail by eating. We partook of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And God in his wisdom said, you fail by eating. You're going to be restored by eating. We fail by eating forbidden fruit. And then Christ, God in his wisdom said, I'm going to give you life-giving. Life-giving food. Life-sustaining food. Food for your soul. I'm going to give you that. And I tell you what, he said, this is my body. Then look what he says there in verse 23. Then he took the cup. Set the bread down. They ate the bread. Then he took that cup. Took the cup. And oh, I love this right here. The blood he shed for us. As Brad preached here recently, it's an eternal redemption he obtained for us. And he said when he had took the cup, and listen to this, when he had given thanks. What do you reckon he's given thanks for? What do you think he's given thanks for? He's given thanks. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for what you've done for me. How you've preserved me and kept me. How you spoke to me. How you protected me. How you preserved me. I thank you, Father, for those that you've given me. I've kept all of them. I've not lost one of them but the son of perdition. He said, I've kept every one of them. And I've loved them right to the very end. I thank you, Father, that it's the hour's come. I thank you, Father. The hour's come. I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able. I thank you for bringing me to this place. I thank you for these men who's been with me. I thank you for these people. I even thank you for those ones that betray me. Because, Lord, it just shows how you love your elect, and you're not going to lose one of them. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. And oh my, now man can be restored to God. And then he took that cup and he gave thanks. And again, it says, look what it says here. He gave it to them. He gave it to them. And listen to this now. And they all drank of it. Oh, we all You know, when our Lord Jesus shed his blood, it was for all, and all of us drank. All of us come faithfully to it. All of us come to it. So grateful. You know, and look what he says down there in verse 24. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament. That New Testament means the will, the new will, my will. This is the blood of the New Testament which is shed for many. Now I want you to look over here at Hebrews 10. Let's look at this will, this New Testament, this will. Christ is the mediator of a New Testament, a better testament. But look here in Hebrews chapter 10, and then look in verse 5 with me. Oh, talking about this blood, this New Testament in my, this blood in this, my New Testament is shed for many, laid down my life for many. It's the blood of his will, the blood of his testament. And the testament means a will. And oh my. And here he says this, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering, that wasn't never your will, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifice for sins, you never had no pleasure, no satisfaction in them. Then I stood up and I said, Lord, Lord, I come. And the volume of the book is written of me. I come to do thy will. Above, when he said this before, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, it was never your will. It was never going to save anybody. You had no pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then, this is why Christ said, lo, I come to do thy will. He takes away the first. He took away the first Adam. He took away the law. Took away the ceremonies. Took away the rituals. Took away all the Old Testament sacrifices. He took away all those things that he may establish the second. And listen to this. Now this is what I want to get to right here. By the which will I come to do thy will, O God. By the which will? Which will? The will that he came to do thy will, O God. By the which will we are sanctified. By the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He come do that will. He said, well, he said, this is the testament. This is my will. And no, what I delighted to do thy will. By that will, we're sanctified by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. Once and for all. And oh my. So he gave the cup to them and they all drank it. All drank it. And I tell you what. And then when they had sung a hymn, verse 26, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And you know, I started outside saying that this is a visible sermon. We do it in remembrance of him. When someone dies, sometimes they'll give you a memorial. They'll give you something, say, remember me by... I want you to remember me by this right here. But I tell you, we remember. Oh, how he loved us. Oh, how he loved us. We have no idea how deeply, how infinitely, how eternally, how gloriously Christ loved us. And how in the world could he love worms, maggots, sinners. But he did. But he did. And then remember this, how he lived for us. He lived for us. He didn't live for himself. He lived for us. Yeah. He lived for us. And oh, don't never forget this. He died for us. He died. Death, when I tell you, when death comes and gets us, we ain't coming back. But death come and got him. He tasted death. And he died. Who did he die for? For his people, for his elect. For those the Father gave to him. He was our substitute. He is our sin offering. Bless his holy name. And let me tell you something else. Not only did he die, but the scripture said he was raised up for us. God raised him back up for who? For us. For our justification. So God can look at us and say, them people are justified. They're righteous in my sight. Who's going to condemn them? Who's going to lay anything to the charge of them? And oh my, remember this. He sits at God's right hand, and the scripture says he makes intercession for us. He prays for us. When you're heartbroken, when you're fearful, and things are not going the way you would like for them to go, and they rarely do. They rarely do. But I tell you what, when he sits up there right now, every single one of us, there's never been a time that he hasn't interceded for us when we was in trouble. When your heart's cold and the devil tells you, no, you're a hypocrite. What in the world you want to go to church for? Why do you want to go up there and make a mockery out of it? He intercedes for you. He says, Lord, move on their heart. Take that out. Take that fear out. Take that doubt out. Take that anxiety out. Take that worry out. Oh Lord, give them strength. It looks like they're fixing to fall, fixing to faint. Give them strength, Lord. And never, never, never forget this. He saved us by his grace. We never did anything to deserve salvation. But everything he did to save us. Nothing caused him to save us, good or bad. You know, people worry about, you know, I did such a bad thing. You know, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Well, if you thought you'd done something good, you'd say, oh Lord, I can't believe I thought that. Well, good or bad, we're the Lord's. We're his. This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you. Take it and eat it. Take it and drink it. And we'll show the Lord's death till he comes. Our Father, in the blessed, blessed name of Christ our Lord, as we go this evening to take this bread, take this wine, help us, Lord, in our heart of hearts, remember you. Remember you. You're such a blessed master, such a good master, such a blessed Lord, such a wonderful Savior. Oh Lord, if we had 10,000 souls, we could trust you with every single one of them. And Lord, we trust you with our souls tonight. We bless you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.